Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of the Kinetic Fitness Show. My name is Ali West and I'm your host, and this is episode 39. I welcome each and every one of you to the show, whether you are a brand new listener or a returning listener. Always grateful to have you on board with me on this podcast. If you are new and you don't know what the Kinetic Fitness Show is about, maybe you've seen me through Instagram or you've just stumbled across this podcast, then this podcast is all about helping you to live a longer, healthier, happier and more joyful life. I do that through covering different topics and areas in relation to health and well-being each week. And I cover all areas, mind, body and spirit. Because for me, health is all of those areas. If you're healthy in the mind, in the body and in the spirit, then you have, for me, a complete sense of well-being and a complete sense of wellness. That's a little bit of a background about the show. Before we get stuck into today's episode and I introduce today's guest, if you haven't already, could you please like, subscribe, follow this podcast, and then you'll be updated with all of my latest episodes. Secondly, if you are able to leave a review, if you enjoy this episode and you enjoy my other episodes and you're liking the podcast, just leave me a quick review, 5 stars, hopefully, and then that will help me massively. Not just me, but reviews help all podcasters because it allows us to spread our message to more people. The third and final thing to point out is if you are on Instagram, I'm pretty active on Instagram. So if you are on there, just give me a follow. Ali West Fitness is my handle. That's Ali, A-L-I, West, W-E-S-T, and then fitness. So Ali West Fitness. Follow me on there. Take a screenshot of you listening to this episode. Put it in your story. Tag it on your feed. And I will share it with all of my followers as well. Also, Instagram is a great way of getting in touch with me. So if you do have any questions, any queries, shoot me a direct message or an email via Instagram and I can answer any questions or queries you have in relation to any of the topics we discuss or just any general health and well-being questions. That's enough about that. Let's move on to today's episode and today's guest. Today, I and my guest, we are going to be talking about breath work and breathing and the importance of breathing correctly. My guest today is Lee Ewan, and Lee is someone who is really experienced in taking himself out of his comfort zone and also challenging his body in numerous different ways. He currently lives in Iceland, and Lee is originally from Australia. So you might think, wow, that's a bit weird. He lives in Finland, but he's from Australia. But you'll learn a bit more when we start speaking to him on why that is the case. But Lee has studied with the Bulletproof Institution of Human Potential Coaching. He's also a fully qualified and certified instructor in the Wim Hof method. And if you haven't heard of Wim Hof, what have you been doing? Have you been living under a rock? Go and check out Wim Hof if you don't know who he is. And he's also an Oxygen Advantage certified instructor as well. He's studied many different areas of breath work, of the mechanics, of the different techniques. And for me, Lee is an expert in this area of breathing and breath work. It's something that's so simple. It's something that we do every day, but we've kind of forgotten how to breathe properly. We've forgotten the mechanics, the right and wrong way to do it. And we forgot as well how powerful breathing in the right way is. So you're going to learn all of that on this podcast. You're going to learn how to breathe correctly. You're going to learn about some of the science and the mechanics behind it, the benefits of doing correct breath work. And we're also going to teach you some techniques as well. Lee's going to teach you some techniques that you can put into practice straight away that are going to help improve your overall wellness just through breathing. How powerful is that? If you can do something as simple as breathing and doing it in the right way, it can have a huge impact on all areas of your life. So we're going to touch on all of that. That's it, really. That's the intro. Really excited to introduce Lee and get him to tell you more about this area and share his wisdom with you. Hope you enjoy this one, guys. I certainly enjoyed recording it with him. Let's bring in the man himself, Lee Ewan, and talk all about breathing and the breath work. Enjoy. Okay, Lee, can you hear me, mate? How are you?
I can. How you doing, mate?
I'm great. How's your day so far?
Oh, yeah, pretty busy. Pretty busy.
Good man.
I'm getting a little bit sad because the winter over here in Finland seems like it's coming to a little bit of a conclusion. You know, I like my cold weather. I like all the cold exposure and stuff as well. So,
I know you're that one of the few people that likes it to be winter. I must admit, I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum. I can't wait for the sun to come, but it's interesting to hear a different vibe. But yeah, it's cool that you love that cold environment, and we're going to touch on that a little bit in what we talk about today. What's it? Is it starting to melt then, the snow over there and the ice, or is it? What's it like?
Oh, it has been, yeah. So we live up here in Finland, around about the Helsinki area. Actually, quite close to, like, behind me here is actually the Baltic Sea. So, like, I don't know. I can give you a little. I don't know if you can see out there. The Baltic Sea is out there,
Yeah.
but we're all, like, on a little bit of a peninsula here, and we've got the Baltic Sea that goes all around us here. So it's still pretty well frozen, but all the snow is melted off the street and everything, more or less.
Got you.
A few piles, grey piles lurking around still. So
And what's the temperature?
today I think we're about -5 out there today.
Not bad then.
Yeah, I do think we're gonna get, like, we get these kind of like pulsing kind of spring. You get this fake little taste of spring, and then it boom hits you with some cold. So I do think we're expecting a little bit of cold weather towards the latter part of the week. I always keep my eye on the temperature because,
Yeah,
as I
I
said, I need to figure out when I get into the hole in the ice again next time.
You'll be diving in the lake when it gets colder.
Yeah.
All right, before we get stuck into this area of breathing, we want to talk all about breath work, how it can affect everything in our life, how it can make us better human beings as well. But before we touch on all of that, and before we dive into some of those questions, can you just give myself and the guys that are listening to this podcast today a bit of a brief backstory about who you are, what you do, and what your line of expertise is?
Absolutely, yeah. So my name's Lee Ewan, and I'm actually an Aussie. You probably detect that from my accent. Apparently,
We
we have
just
an
having
accent.
some off-air banter about Australia, weren't
Yeah. I was actually laying into it a little bit, but anyway. But I've been living up here in Finland for about 11 years, and yes, it is possible to, as an Aussie, to live up here in Finland for this long. But a big part of that's the reason why I'm up here was. I used to live in the UK. I met a Finnish girl, ended up moving here, and the only reason why I stayed here actually was literally for the weather. I really fell in love with the lifestyle and the weather, and for about 8 or 9 months of the year, it's either skiing outside, it's a lot of sauna is the correct way to say it. It's a Finnish word, sauna. And this sauna and this kind of ice dipping, cold dipping kind of culture, I guess you could say. It's kind of like very, very good for your health. So, of course, I started to get really interested. I've always been into health and fitness, and played basketball at a high level back in Australia. Went to a pretty prestigious sports college there. But I got a little bit old, didn't I? And then all of it, you want to get involved with all the sports and the performance stuff, but the body doesn't respond the same way, and all this sort of stuff. I kind of find that, like many people that are out there looking and seeking for sort of optimization and performance and these sort of things, sort of found myself in the biohacking circles. And I found personally that biohacking can be a really, it's really exciting. It's all encompassing. It's an umbrella that has just about everything underneath it. But it is a bit of a rabbit hole too. There's always the next product. There's always the next wearable. There's always the next, is it, veggie smoothies? Is it sort of like medicinal mushrooms? I mean, there's all these things to consider. And for me, I kind of like said to myself, okay, let's start right at the beginning. And what was the first thing? Well, the first thing you do is breathe, more or less. So I literally started right at the beginning, and I never actually got out of there in a way. I found everything that really appealed to me had something to do with the breathing. And then, of course, I'm an instructor in certain methodologies of breathing. And of course, one of the most popular ones is the Wim Hof method. And combining my love of the cold, which was kind of there for many, many years, and then this breath work, it gave me this kind of like unique situation where you can actually train both of these things together, you know? So it was really exciting for me. Got to meet Wim Hof himself, and you know, was part of the world tour with them in Australia with the Inner Fire, which is the company, his company, his family business. But for me, the Wim Hof method was literally just scratching away at the surface of breath work in general, because it's like, you know, when you go to the gym, you lift for, let's say, an hour, basically around about an hour. Some of us keen ones go a little bit longer, some a little bit less, but that's more or less how long it takes to do the Wim Hof method breathing and maybe a bit of meditation. So what do you do for the rest of the day? The other 23 hours of the day, you're still breathing, right? Is there ways to refine that? Is there ways to, you know, consciously adjust that or influence that? And as it turns out, the answer is obviously yes, you can. And then I sort of like got into, those of you probably know about Oxygen Advantage. It's sort of like looking at breathing from two angles, very much a meditative sort of like relaxation perspective, but then how to use this in an athletic and sports performance setting as well. So I'm an instructor in the Oxygen Advantage as well. And then, you know, you kind of, like I said before, the biohacking is a bit of a rabbit hole, but breathing was a rabbit hole for me because I started drilling down into other areas as well. And there's a fellow called Stig Severinsen, who up until not too long ago held the world record in freed up like a breath hold under the water for 22 minutes.
Yeah.
And, you know, a tremendous, really interesting mentor, very, very performance driven, and very, very focused, and sort of like so many things to learn from him. And
is he the breathology guy? Is it breathology?
Exactly. Yeah.
Got you.
Yeah. Exactly. So he has his own breathology is the methodology that he's kind of created. And that also gave me a glimpse or a very much an understanding of the yogic breathing and looking more towards the East, which is basically for centuries and centuries, Eastern philosophy has sort of always looked at the breath, and all spirituality is kind of coming from this breath work kind of, it has some form of breath work integrated or embedded inside of it, you could say. So kind of bringing in this yogic practice and understanding of all these kriya and energy channels, and you know, prana is energy in yogic terminology, which is your energy, your life force. Pranayama, energy life force, and kind of like the regulation of your energy life force. And then looking at the visualization and the relaxation within you as you're under the water or in a place or at a situation which would otherwise be lighting up all of your nervous system and everything inside your body saying, you know, this is a dangerous situation or something's trying to threaten you. So it kind of took me through those methodologies. And then of course, always looking and hearing, I love looking at other podcasts and what other breathwork practitioners and influencers, you could say, are doing out there as well. And, you know, breathwork is for everybody on looking and seeking. There's a way to get a gain out of it for just about everybody. So that's why I was like, okay, I don't think I need to look any further. I think breath work is kind of like, that's where it's at for me.
Yeah. So what does, I know that's your history and what you've done and stuff. What does your day to day look like at the moment? What are you currently doing day to day? I know it's going to vary, but what's your ins and outs every day?
Well, actually I work for the university. So we have Finland's largest university here is Aalto University. Aalto actually means wave in Finnish, like a wave of water. And it's the biggest university here. I'm actually really, I've always been very good at bringing people together. So my role here is actually really bringing people together around kind of technology and innovation and kind of building a tribe of, you know, so that entrepreneurs can find what they need to in order to grow their business. And of course I have my own company as well. I have a brand, it's called Flowness. It's kind of like a flow state, you could say. And I'm very interested in basically anything that finds, helps you find this kind of like optimal state, or this, everyone knows what flow state is. It's this nice combination of stimulation, knowledge, lack of fear, not worrying about failure, intuition, all these things kind of and a few other things kind of blend together and form this perfect kind of moment where you're like, I mean, I look through some of my Google Docs sometimes where I've had the right amount of coffee or, some kind of mushroom tea or, I've just come back from an exercise and I'm like, boom, okay. And then I get to the computer, I type down some stuff and kind of forget about it. And then later on I look in the Google Docs and I'm like, what have we got in here for a blog or this or that? And I look at that, I'm like, damn, this is brilliant. Who wrote this? Oh shit, it was me, So I'm very interested about how to find this kind of flow state like many others. And I feel like breath work is a big part of it. And therefore I kind of like run workshops in my company. I guess you could say a health service provider or whatever you want to call, similar to a yoga instructor in a way. But then also looking at breath work for relaxation, for meditation, for sports and athletic performance, and then also looking at sort of breathing mechanics or physiology. So how to open up the body, free the body up, and have your diaphragm and all these the infrastructure you have, how to get the most out of it. Because the sad thing is with breathing is that I think it's about the age of around about 40. Every 5 years, you lose somewhere between 7 to 12% of your breathing capacity or your volume. So, how can you actually get things running in an efficient way so that, it's like you're building your backup in the gym, doing, make sure you get your deadlifts in so that later on in life, you're kind of like stronger.
Yeah. It's kind of like this. Yeah. That makes sense, which is what we're going to touch on and talk about today in this episode. There's so much you mentioned there and so many different angles that we can pick up on, and I will touch on that flow state in a little while as well. But before we get onto that, I want to talk maybe more specifically about issues, because it's all good and well us sitting here and discussing breath work and breathing and techniques, but I think the vast majority of people walking around, they're breathing with the wrong mechanics, they're doing the wrong technique, and they're just not conscious of it, and also this is affecting their overall health. So can you just give us a little bit of information, a bit of guidance as to why most people are breathing incorrectly and why they're having these issues, and also how they or why they're breathing inefficiently and ineffectively as well?
Well, you said it right there, right? You said that people are not conscious of their breathing. When you look at breathing, it's literally one of the only, it is pretty much the only process that I'm aware of where you can actually sit in the passenger seat and it happens automatically and you go along for the ride, or you can jump in the driver's seat and drive this baby, And for the most part, there's a number of reasons, probably all the normal reasons why what we would think, the way that the world is now with all the social media and every social media platform or whatever it is vying for your attention, and you're living your life a little bit up here and your focus and attention's going all over the place, and it's not within yourself, and like I said, if you want to, we find ourselves on a daily basis even having blue light from your screen going into your brain, it's changing your breathing pattern on some level. It's a small stressor, that a constant continual flow of stress that accumulates in your body that does have a effect on your breathing. Somebody talks sternly to you in a meeting, or disagrees with you, that's enough to set your breathing pattern into another format. Probably feel red in the face and boom, 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 you can hear that. I mean, that's quite a common thing. And you do start getting into this sort of sympathetic state where you're kind of like, you get a little bit of adrenaline, your body's trying to tell you like, okay, do you feel threatened here? Is it a fight or a flight response, or freeze, as they say now? So I think the more that we're living a little bit sort of like up in here, we're forgetting a little bit too, well, we're not able to adjust the breathing, and we're not able to sort of like control it. And of course, if you control your breathing, you can control your reactions to things, if that makes sense.
Yeah, 100%. It's the same as everything, isn't it? It's like why is our nutrition bad? Why is our posture bad? Is this life effects, isn't it? I think one of the big things to point out off the back of what you just said briefly is that because we're so connected, we've forgotten how to unconnect or disconnect or unplug ourselves. And one of the best ways that we can try and improve all areas, especially our breathing, is just taking ourselves away for even if it's just 5 minutes or so, isn't it, to just disconnect a little bit and get in.
Spot on. I mean, that's one of the first things I'd ask somebody to do. I mean, usually people would ask like, okay, so how do you get someone to get involved with breath work, you know, or how do you, like, it's literally just be conscious about it. Spend, like you said, spend 5 minutes is enough. Spend 5 minutes to just where you are, even your viewers or yourself now, we're not going to spend 5 minutes, but you can kind of also just start thinking like, okay, so take a breath, you draw attention. Where do I feel that? Am I breathing through my nose? Am I breathing through my mouth? Is my chest moving? What muscles? Do I feel air coming in? You know, and right now when there's nothing around here disturbing me or anything like this, I might have a slightly raised, pulse because I'm getting excited about talking all this with you here. But for the most part, there's nothing else preventing me from doing that for 5 minutes. So it's actually quite relaxing. You can kind of get a feeling for what you have inside, like what happens, where does the air come, where does it venture down into? How do I feel after each breath? You know, it's like it's very, very simple. And then if you start asking somebody to do this for 5 minutes here during it, like the, you know, maybe some visualization or some sort of like 5 minutes before you get up out of the bed, even in the morning, then maybe it's sort of like 5 minutes throughout, you know, in the afternoon after your lunch or something like this, where you feel maybe a bit tired. Maybe you can kind of like draw attention to your breath again. And you kind of take these situations throughout the day, and you eventually have the person identifying how their breathing is or how their breath is feeling at any given moment. So that if you do get that situation where you're a colleague or somebody's a little bit sort of stern with you in the meeting, you can kind of identify that in yourself. It's like, okay, okay, I held my breath all of a sudden. Why am I doing that for? Of course, you're in a meeting, you don't want to be kind of like, you know, blah, blah, you know, you kind of keep it on the DL a little bit, but you know inside yourself that you can actually control, that's a physical reaction. And if you breathe and just take a pause, you might just get a better, you might find the response that, you know, a more, you know, amicable response, or you might be able to, you know, say something a bit more intelligent and not be so rash about what your response is. So that's literally the first way I would recommend for somebody to start having a look at the breath work. There's a number of other things you can do that, you know, I'm sure we'll get a little bit more into the mechanics and the infrastructure and what happens when we breathe air in and CO2 out and all that sort of stuff. But just conscious breathing is something that it's such an easy thing to do, but yet we just don't take, we were talking a bit before about what, you know, 1 hour for a podcast, this and that. We're not even asking for 1 hour here. We're asking for 5 minutes. And if you think about it, we're like in many of the practices that I've been studying in, they're recommending that on a minute by minute basis, you're literally breathing for six times in 1 minute. That's sort of like the optimal 6 to 10 times per minute. So if you think about it, five minutes is about 30 breaths.
Yeah.
That's all I'm asking.
Yeah, you know,
sure. When you look at it like that,
yeah, it's interesting you saying that about six breaths in a minute, because I've done a lot of reading about the breath work as well, and other animals, not just human beings, and there's some animals that have, whether there's a direct correlation or not, but I'm sure there is, some animals that only breathe minimal amounts of time in a minute, they have some of the longest life expectancies. One of those being the giant tortoise, only breathes four times, I think, in a minute, and its average life expectancy is 126 years old. So there is something to be said for a correlation between longevity and life expectancy with the number of breaths that you're taking in a minute as well, which we will touch on too as well. What about then, let's talk about some of the mechanics of breathing then, like the right, obviously we said people are not breathing correctly or they're forgetting to breathe properly without dying, obviously, because if we don't breathe, we're pretty much snuffed it. But yeah, let's talk about some of the mechanics and the right and wrong way to breathe, because I've got many questions about this area. So let's touch on some of that and you give us some of your knowledge about this area of the mechanics of actually breathing.
Well, I'm a big believer in the nose, the nasal breathing, right?
So, yes, which was going to be one of my questions.
Yeah. I mean, we can talk a lot about that because I think it's worth to speak about. You know, of course, you know, when you've got these big kind of like big powerful breathing methodologies like the Wim Hof, and you've got some like holotropic breath work, and you have these kind of like really deep, like very, closely related to spiritual and looking within and getting into certain states and so on. That's what a lot of people are drawn to, because it gives you this kind of like amazing rush of all these endorphins and happy hormones and so on. But in many cases, those breathing patterns and those, they're about getting a lot of oxygen in like this. It's not necessarily, it's just getting the air in and toying around a little bit with the CO2 and oxygen levels in the body. But what happens for the other 23 hours, right? And I'm even including when you go to sleep, when you're sleeping. It cannot be, well, let's say like this. Our noses represent 20% of our total breathing infrastructure, right? For some people, probably a little bit more or a bit less, but on average, it's about 20% or so. So that's just the nose here. When you look at a skull, you have the sinuses, you have the big dark spots here, right? The sinuses go right up, and you have these big cheek areas here, which are quite hollowed out. You can even press those in like this. And this is all of your breathing infrastructure here. If you want to figure out how much space you got, just get, if anyone wants to try this, they're more than welcome. Just grab your tongue and stick it, not down your throat, but towards the back in a soft palate. That's how far back it goes too. So now with that in mind, that's the other 80% of your breathing infrastructure, I like to say. So if we know anything about nature, it doesn't waste any space, right? It doesn't, everything's there for a reason.
Yeah.
So I truly believe that a baby, if anyone has a child there, the baby is always breathing through their nose. It's born breathing through its nose. And if you're a parent out there, you know the worst night's sleep you've ever had is when your baby has a flu or a cold, because it's got all this mucus and stuff pouring out the nose and it cannot sleep. That's why it's crying the whole time. So babies know it. But what something happens along the way where there's a little bit of a, we kind of forget, or the baby replicates or imitates the parents and sees the mouth open and we're making all these facial expressions to the baby and it starts imitating, and then it gets further away from that. So, and then we get into if you really look at the nasal area, all these little hairs, these annoying hairs that every now and then you have to bing take those away or trim them back, they serve a purpose. They're literally trying to stop particles from entering. The mucus inside, I mean, if you've probably been traveling, you and the viewers have been traveling before on a plane, of course, the best time to breathe through your nose is on a plane. You've got all these, this air is not the best quality. We all know that. We all know that there's always one or two sick people or people that are coughing and so on. And this mucus is really, really effective at attracting the bacteria and capturing that. That's why if you've been nasal breathing on a plane, by the end, you're like really ready to get that stuff out of your nose by the time you hit the airport, you know? So it's very, very efficient at doing these kind of things and protecting you. The further up the nose we go up into here where this is where the nitric oxide spools up. And nitric oxide is a known vasodilator, which means your veins open up. So as you take the air down inside of your lungs, these branchy things, the bronchi and the bronchioli, which branch off 24 different times, smaller and smaller each time, as you breathe through your nose, you get the nitric oxide and it opens those up. So it's much more efficient method of breathing. Not to mention, you can try it now. Try it now. Like, let's take a breath through our mouth. So, yeah. So I see right now. I saw it in myself on the. I've got the little screen here as well. I can see myself. When I breathe through my mouth, my top part of my body is moving. Right, my chest is moving. And go one more time yourself. Take a breath. Yeah. You can't, it's a natural thing, right? Whereas if we now take a breath through our nose,
yeah, everything expands, doesn't it? Everything opens up.
That's the thing, right? So we're talking about deep breathing. Sorry, I'm pointing down here, right? I'm pointing now to my diaphragm,
yeah,
this big breathing muscle here, which basically when you breathe through your nose, you engage that. It pulls down, allows the oxygen in, and then as we breathe out, it pushes back up and pushes the CO2 out. And at the cell membrane is where the oxygen comes in and the CO2 is released. You know, there's a little bit of a gas exchange there. But people have really, really weak diaphragms too, because we just don't use them. Like any muscle, you have to train these things. That's where I found that the yoga practice, and actually this pranayama, which is again this energy or life force control or regulation is the actual translation, that comes in really handy because you're doing a lot of work with the diaphragm. And funnily enough, just in here, just where the just before the diaphragm is with the solar plexus, that's actually where we store a lot of trauma. And that's one of the fewest places where we actually ever massage, or there's never any release. We go to a gym, we get the massage on the back and the shoulders and all this, but very, very rarely do we actually massage the solar plexus. And that's any of this kind of healing or spiritual work or yogic work it's always talking about the stored trauma here in the solar plexus.
Yeah, makes sense. Without going off too much at a tangent, because we could go down a whole rabbit hole here, but then it's going back to the spiritual side of things, and you can go to that yogic angle that it's the chakras, isn't it? Like the whole idea of us being here in this plane, in this vessel that we're in, is to accelerate our way up through the chakras to be at the crown chakra, the chakra, the highest level. And all the time we're down at the root chakra, the first chakra, that's kind of like the basement, and we don't want to be in the basement for too long. We want to be in the penthouse. So it all makes sense, everything you're saying, when we're drawing up that breath through the chakras, through that alignment, through the diaphragm, and then into the head and into the pineal gland and above, then we're not only improving our health and well-being in the physical body, but in the other realms of spiritual level as well, aren't we?
Absolutely, mate. Yeah. And that's why it was so funny to me. Like, if you'd have told me, as I told you at the start, I was like a kind of like this, more from this athletic side. I think in maybe the US, they call it more like a jock or something like that, you know, like really all about the sport. I mean, I love my sport still. I love watching all, you know, athletes go for it, and, you know, I'm really big on the mixed martial arts, which is literally, all they're trying to do there is take the air from the other person, right? The air is like the gas tank, and they're just trying to nip into the gas tank. You know, you got guys that are like trying to strike, guys and girls, sorry, that nowadays trying to strike in around the stomach area, trying to rob you of your oxygen. And then, of course, the ultimate thing is that you're actually, someone's literally trying to steal your oxygen so that you submit, you tap, and they win. But all of this stuff, like if you'd have told me 10 years ago, Lee, you're going to be learning about yogic breathing and chakras and all this, I would have been like, really? Seriously? Like, you know, that's not me at all. Like, I'm more about basketball, weightlifting, this, that. But now there's like a bit more of a, I think there's a lot more knowledge about it, and there is always the way that you can go a little bit more on the spiritual side, or some people like to say woo woo kind of stuff. But there is a lot of scientific evidence and research that supports that. And of course, yoga is just an ancient form, or it's an ancient science of the body and mind, really. I mean, that's what it is, right?
Yeah, I mean
So,
the originality of yoga is breathing. That's what yoga is like in its purest form. When it first started, all of those centuries ago, it was just the breath, and then all of the movements and the different forms and the stretches all evolved out of the breath work. So yeah, I mean,
yeah.
if you say you're a yogi, then you're a person that practices breath work, aren't you? Because that's what it
Yeah,
is.
exactly.
Yeah, cool. So that's the mechanics. What about then? I've made a few notes while you've been speaking there, but what
Yeah,
about
just go for it, man.
how easy or how difficult, could we say, is it to out train all of these bad habits? So if we've been breathing through the mouth for, I don't know, 25, 50, 70 years, how easy is it for us as individuals, as human beings, to be able to out train these bad habits and in inverted commas that we've adapted and evolved and got used to over these years? Is it
Really
easy?
easy.
Is it hard or
Yeah.
not?
It's really easy, actually. And again, it starts, that's why I at the start I say that it holds a lot of weight, just conscious breathing, just to consider how you're breathing at any one minute, at any one moment, you know. Like I said, are you breathing through your nose or mouth? Like walking through the streets. I mean, in here in when it's cold out there, like you don't want to be like. Have you, many people have done it. Whether if you've done it in a been in a sauna before, or sauna we say, sauna, and you breathe heavily through your mouth, that burns your lungs. You know what I mean? It doesn't feel good. Likewise, you walk around these streets here in Helsinki area when it's minus whatever, minus 15, minus 20, and you take a huge breath in through your, it hurts. It hurts in there. You can just use your. It's actually, it feels better.
Yeah.
To breathe through your nose. It's easier, it's more efficient, and also it does humidify and regulate the temperature of the air as well, by the way. So on multiple levels it works and it makes sense. And in order to train that, one of the things, the first way, as I said, it's the first way is to be more conscious about that and trying to actively sort of like, you know, kind of correct that a little bit. You can just say, okay, like this. And those 5 minute moments of time, 5 minutes, a couple of times per day is a great way to start that. But then when you're more or less comfortable with that, and this is the part that usually gets people kind of like, okay, what's this all about? These guys are crazy or whatever, is to actually tape the mouth in the evening. And of course that has other benefits. If you have a significant other at home who doesn't, you know, would like to, doesn't want to discuss things late at night, there's also the other benefit of, no talking or whatever, but actually a little bit of tape. To be honest, I always carry it. Seriously, it's a ratty old looking bit of tape, but
Is that like hypoallergenic tape? Like,
I mean, this one is just this medical tape. I don't think
medical
this
tape,
is even special. I mean, you get nice tape. Just don't use the electrical tape, otherwise, especially if you have some facial hair, you'll be, or maybe some people want that effect. I don't know, but anyway, but yeah, you just grab a little bit of this. You throw it on. You just tape it over, and I would definitely recommend, because for some people that's a little bit, it's a bit scary. It feels restrictive. It feels a little bit uncomfortable, but. You can do a little bit of, you can add a little bit of a calming breathing rhythm or something like this. Like if you've ever heard of this 4-7-8 breathing, which is pretty well known. There's also a box breathing, but for this in the evening to calm the nerves and nervous system and to relax, the 4-7-8 is really nice. Which means for those if you don't know what it is, it's 4 seconds in. And then you hold that inside, you know, kind of like almost like a small breath hold for 7 seconds. No pressure. You don't want to, like when I say breath hold, it's not like you tense up or anything. It's just holding the oxygen in 7 seconds. And then you would. Just lengthen the exhale like that. If you do a few rounds like this, the heart rate really drops. You calm your nervous system. And you relax, and if you kind of The other nice little thing it does, and for someone like myself who's never really that, let's say, I'm not that good at meditation, if you can even say like this, I always struggled a little bit with it, you know. I'm the kind of mind where if you would have asked me, and I think there's many people out there like this as well, if you ask me, hey, Lee, stop thinking of something. Don't don't think of anything right now. Just don't let anything enter your head. And I'm lay there for a few seconds and I'm like, I'm not thinking of anything, but hang on, I'm thinking of something. But now, oh, you know, like, is that thinking of something? You know, and then you go into this thing. Whereas I really like the idea of giving someone some numbers, a couple of numbers, just to count, like a small countdown. 4 seconds and then 7 seconds inside, 8 like this. And you just repeat that a few times. You calm yourself, you relax. You actually don't really, for me now, if I do that, maybe I might do that 4 or 5 times max and I'll be asleep most likely.
Yeah, powerful.
Kind of train yourself for that. And then of course, then you'd have to look far and wide to figure out any other activity that you can actually train for, where you just lay on your back and sleep with the tape on your mouth and you're just literally training yourself, retraining yourself how to breathe through your nose. So it's that's why I say it's easy, you know. Of course, yeah, there's a few little things that you change and whatnot, but it is actually easy enough to train.
What kind of time scales are we talking about? How quickly is the carryover?
Oh, I think you can get... I think the biggest hurdle for people is literally like if they do want to try the taping, you can try taping during the day too. If you don't like the idea of sort of like going to sleep and waking up and you've got a tape in your mouth and it's a bit, oh, what's happening here or something like that, no problems. You can do the same thing during the day. But the idea is to just to do it a bit with increasing frequency, like most training. And then I would think that you would get results in about a week.
Wow.
When I first did Oxygen Advantage course, I honestly, the two-day event I did with Patrick McKeown, he wrote the book. Within like those 2 days was probably the most of, like I've been doing some nasal breathing before that, like here and there, just when I like kind of using it as an application when I felt a certain way or a certain state, or I wanted to feel a certain state, calm and relaxed mainly. And a little bit of recovery from sports, which works really well too. But in order to really flip the switch, one of the first things we did, we just passed the tape around and we went ahead and did that. And those 2 days was pretty much enough for me. And I knew that, okay, I'm a nose breather, you know, like there's no going back now kind of thing.
Yeah.
So for me, it was 2 days, but I'm of course quite aware of my breath in the first place. But I would say for most people, it would be 1 to 2 weeks of doing this and you'd pick it up pretty quickly, or retrain yourself, if you want to say it like that.
That's amazing. I mean, you can have, with something that's so simple and doesn't take very long, the impacts you can have are just astronomical, aren't they?
Yeah, and that's the thing too, right? So we talk about biohacking. There's always like, I mean, you know, there's Oura rings and, you know, this watch I've got, it's like, this gives me all, it's actually, yeah, there you go.
I've got a Whoop on, mine's Whoop.
Yeah. You know, you map out all your activities and all, and you can log everything. And, you know, here I get my heart rate on this watch. This is the Garmin 5X, really nice watch, very expensive. But I got that because I like to see the blood oxygen saturation at any one time.
Yeah.
This actually is a few watches that gives that. So I'd like to go underwater and see what the heart rate is and all these kind of things, you know. But what I'm saying is that there's all these gizmos and gadgets and the biohacking can do this. It just only costs that much. We're talking about like a bit of tape that you probably got at your house, and you don't even need the tape if you don't really want to. Or it's an easy biohack, you know, it's an easy way to get some pretty good gains and some nice changes in lifestyle and some nice effects of states. So I don't know. I think it's pretty sound.
Yeah. I mean, I think 3 areas that people are really heavily interested in and focused in now, particularly in the health and fitness and wellbeing realm, is the, how well they can perform, how well they can recover, and how well they can sleep. And I think when we're working on the breath and doing something as simple as what you've just explained, all three of those areas are gonna get improvements. We're gonna improve how we can perform in any activity that we do. We're gonna be able to recover more effectively and quicker, and then also we're gonna be able to sleep better, because you've already just mentioned sleep and the nasal breathing is massive for sleeping, isn't it? I read some.
Well, not to mention, I mean, like,
the nose is for breathing, and the mouth is for eating.
Yeah. So you mentioned exactly. I mean, you mentioned the tortoise. One of these tortoise lives for 125 years, breathes four times every minute, eats food here and there. Probably doesn't have that large an appetite because it's not expending so much energy, right?
Mm.
The thing is, the more you breathe, you know how energy works actually is, like, in a nutshell, not to go too deep onto this, go dive deep on science here, but essentially you bring nutrients into the body, carbs, protein, fats, whatever. And then with oxygen, only with oxygen, it breaks the nutrients down, forms the ATP, which is the molecule that the body can then use the energy. And every time you breathe, nutrients are being broken down and ATP is being made. If you decrease the amount of the rate of breath, you have a lower demand for energy, right? Just like when you're running from, to, away, whatever it is, from something in a race, you're breathing more because your body needs more energy. It's breaking down those nutrients, right? So that's why you got to feel sorry for people that are caught in those vicious cycles where they're, they suffer from obesity or these kind of things, like it's a nightmare situation, because the person, quite often you see somebody who has very, very large neck and they're kind of panting, like panting. And they're breathing so frequently and the heart rate's up and they're doing so much extra work. And of course, the demand for energy and to feed yourself to break down more energy, it's there, you know?
Yeah.
So they're kind of caught in that little vicious cycle.
Yeah, so, there's loads of studies and correlations between people that are overweight or obese with having sleep apnea and suffering from snoring and absolutely all that kind of stuff, isn't there? So
that's a whole other
podcast, mate.
Yeah, I know, but it does also tap in a little bit to the nasal breathing stuff. It's also very, very difficult for the airways, the amount of pressure on the airways there. Apnea, sleep apnea at night is like an absolute, when you look at somebody's data from an Oura ring or sleep data in general. And somebody who has like a sleep apnea of any, they don't even have to be overweight. There's just people that have this.
Yeah, for sure.
It's serious. It's very harmful to your sleep, you know, and a lot of people quite often don't realize they've got it too.
Mm. Yeah. Serious condition.
Mm.
So we've talked about the problems, we've talked about some of the mechanics. Let's talk about a few of the different techniques then, because there's loads of different breathing techniques. You've already mentioned kind of the nasal breathing, the pattern of 4, 7, 8. What other ones do you personally use or utilize, and what other ones could you recommend to the listeners as well, and can we try and practice some of them now?
Yeah, sure, I mean I think generally speaking, there's, like I said, there are breathing methodologies that have these kind of very strong effects. Like I said, Wim Hof method is very strong effect, because for many people, it's the first time that they've actually like really concentrated on breathing that much, that frequently for that amount of time. And there's also something quite interesting that happens to people that don't usually get like spend the time to be inside of themselves and sort of empty the mind. And they don't feel what it's like to have a lot of oxygen in the body. And to be kind of like in the middle of this sort of like sympathetic, parasympathetic play where you bring a lot of oxygen in, it feels great. And then you're kind of allowing for the CO2 to rise again, which is a little bit scary again, and sets off a few triggers in your brain saying, oh, there's a threat here. You're running low in oxygen, these kind of things. And it does give people, that's why a lot of people come to the Wim Hof method workshops, and they're looking always for that cold. They're like, oh, the cold bath is the thing, you know? And by the way, at this point, I definitely have to reiterate that the Wim Hof method breathing and the cold do not belong together, by the way. I just have to say that every time it goes to that direction, you have to say it, because there is a misconception out there that the breathing style of these kind of three or four plus more rounds of 30 breaths and then jump into the ice bath. No, that's not what we're trying to do. The different breathing technique when you're in the cold, when you're trying to calm your nervous system, like I said before, you really want to lengthen the exhale.
Yeah, that's for the sure. That's I just want to touch on that quickly, mate, for the guys listening, is that we mentioned just before we started recording this episode that about the cold shower, the cold therapy, you take it to another level and jump in ice frozen lakes and stuff like that, which is what I'm going to aspire to do. But I've been practicing the cold shower and building up my tolerance since the turn of the year. So we're recording this currently in March. So 2 months or so I've been doing this for now. And I have noticed through practicing different techniques and different ways when I'm under the cold water. And I've found that personally, that lengthening of the breath allows me to stand there in the cold a lot more effectively. So I can completely vouch for what you're saying there. Every time I do a long sustained breath, I can handle the cold much more effectively. And after a bit now, I've been doing it, I can get up, I'm up to like, I think nearly 5 minutes now. And it's just become kind of normal. Like I've got used to it, and I've got used to the breathing technique necessary for that environment. So I just wanted to point that out and just say that that makes complete sense to me, that the longer breathing for when you're exposed to cold seems like the right way to do it.
Yeah. And it's also, if you think about it, there's a Ujjayi breathing. It's like this yogic breathing or breath work. And that's really a lot, you know, there's the ratios of breathing. So if we kind of dissect the one single breath, the kind of, we're looking at an active inhale. Second part is a small pause. Then a passive exhale. So that's not to empty the lungs. It's just letting your chest or your, you know, now I'm breathing through my mouth, just to show you, by the way, I would usually do this bit through my nose, but I've got to talk at the same time. Passive exhale and then a pause at the end there. So that's four parts. So you breathe in, active inhale, because you want to bring the, so that's that. Then you do take a slight pause, then passive exhale. So allowing that oxygen to sort of, you know, dispelling that oxygen, and then you take a little pause at the end, and then you repeat that as a one cycle. And then when we talk about Ujjayi breathing from yogic world or yogic practice, that's really talking about playing around with the so-called ratios, which means you would length, you know, you might do a like 4 second inhale, 2 second pause, eight second exhale, like this, pause, and then you would repeat like this. So it kind of just talks about the ratios a little bit, but each time it's always saying that you should lengthen the exhale, and that's because it does calm your nervous system. It does, you know, this vagus nerve that is has a direct line into basically all the key functions in your body, digestion and this and that, but especially your heart. You can control your heart rate. So when you're in the shower and you're lengthening the exhale, that's what it's doing. It's really, really calming your heart rate and your nerves, actually. And the thing as well is, like, it's the hardest thing. When you really put that cold water on, or if you really go in the cold, I mean, it does take your breath away. And when you don't have the breath, you want to quit or escape or run or flee, right? Like I said before, with the mixed martial arts, if you don't have your breath, that's when people tap out, right? Or when you're in the cold and you're like this, it's like, no, I've got to get out of here. I cannot breathe until I'm out of here. But that's why it's such a powerful training tool. And the access, the keys to this is actually through the breath. And then when you apply this to everyday life, that's how it becomes so powerful. The cold is this cold shower, amongst other things, is just the perfect little training mechanism for you to control what it's like to have a bit of stress in your life, right? Of course, we amplify that when we jump in the Baltic Sea there up to our necks and take all the lovely pictures like on my Instagram and so on. But there's no difference. There's no difference. The body doesn't recognize whether, oh, hang on, did he almost just get hit by a car just then? Did she really just dump him just then? Or, you know, or whatever the situation is, it's the same reaction in your body. And I've used the example before in a meeting because it's quite a common situation where people are disagreeing and so on. And you literally see someone's face go red. And you're like, whoa, that person, like, if I wouldn't want myself to look like that, you know, I would want to, like, if I disagree with something, I want to be like, like, why do I disagree with that? What's the, what is that? Why is that really making me feel like that? You know, like, I want to think about why I feel like that, be a bit more considerate and be a bit more kind of level headed about it all. And I cannot do that without the appropriate amount of oxygen in my system, right?
Yeah.
You see, anyone who's ever been angry or emotional, they have red in their face. They cannot breathe. They can't finish sentences. They're a bit sporadic or erratic with how they talk and like this. And you can tell the person's just not in control right now. So that's the idea, is to just have more control over your reactions. This world is going to, sorry to say, it's going to shower you with shit at some point or another. You know, a lot of things are going to come in, and how you react to those things is going to define you, and how you react to those things is going to come from your breath, because it means that you control pretty much all of your physiology and how you're going to react to everything, your surroundings, your environment, the situations. It's the remote control is your breath.
Mm. It's that age old saying, isn't it? Take a breath, just breathe. But
So there's the thing, right? Usually it's like, now take a deep breath. And then someone does what?
Yeah.
Right? Where really what we're talking about when you say deep breath, we're saying deeper down the body, which means breathe through your nose, engage your diaphragm, feel the belly. Like this. It's a deeper breath. It's a much more calmer breath.
Yeah.
But you get a lot of oxygen in.
For sure. Massive. Love it. Okay, let's talk about two areas then that in particular that my listeners will be heavily interested in. The first one is in that kind of gym or sports or competition environment, arena, whatever you want to call it. How can the breath and some of this breath work that we've been talking about have a direct impact on that area of being in the gym or performing a sport?
Yeah, well, first of all, what state do you want to get yourself into, right? You see a lot when, you know, you might see it in the gym where someone's really about to lift a, you know, bench press or something like this, and they're like, they're already getting the heart rate right up. I would argue, do you really need to get the heart rate right up already? Mm. It's going to go up once you try and lift this thing. So if we look before that, is there a way that we can kind of, there's also this other, there's a little key ingredient that's kind of missing here as well. And that's like that if when you're breathing, when you're actually breathing, have you ever seen someone hyperventilate before?
Yeah.
No. That's when someone doesn't have control of their breathing, right? So what they do is, and for that person, you can't just say, hey, breathe more oxygen, you're going to be okay, right? They're trying to do that. And the interesting part that is often forgotten and not known is that CO2, the buildup of CO2 in the blood, is actually the trigger to release the load of oxygen from the hemoglobin in your blood, the protein in your blood. So only with CO2, can the oxygen be released from the blood? And so what do we do in the case of the hyperventilation? We give them a brown paper bag. They blow into the bag CO2. They blow, they breathe it back in like this. CO2, 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 in and out until it builds up enough. And then what happens? They calm down. The oxygen that's inside the blood actually gets, the trigger is there, it gets released, and then the person can actually breathe again, right? So if we think about that and we think about CO2, wouldn't it not be ideal or better if we can actually start to perform some small breath holds just before we start to train and really allow the oxygen to be released before we start, which is what you need to perform, right? So this is the kind of key thing, and that's what we learned a lot from the oxygen advantage, of course, but then also Stieg was all about that in the breathology, talking about how like the how breath holds are actually very, very powerful in terms of, you get a lot of really interesting adaptations inside the body as well when you do breath holds. It's a very, very primal state, actually, the breath hold, because as I said before, especially like, you, by the way, I've got to say again, I always, safety first, you know, because you, like when you do, when you, when we talk about these things and we talk about Stieg Severinsen, who's been a, he's a free diver, he's held his breath underwater for 22 minutes. I mean, that, this is like a special, he's a special creature right there, right? And he's a lot of training and everything like this, but the majority of his training does not occur in the water. It occurs on dry land.
Yeah. I've seen him training. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's the cool thing. If you want to train this stuff, if you want to start understanding and build a CO2 tolerance inside of yourself, it's very easy to do that. Optimal time to do that is like as soon as you wake up in the morning. You can do some breath holds. You can time yourself. You can, if you've got a watch on, your alarm's gone off, you can literally just go, okay, stop the alarm. Let's put the timer on and then let's see. And you can kind of like just take three. Like I did, on my Instagram, I did a breath hold challenge where I invited people to come and see if the progress and give a few little tips and tricks and whatnot, and start to see people surprise themselves how long they can actually hold their breath. I had one colleague of mine, very, actually quite petite, small person, like very, very short, with all due respect to her, but incredible that after about three or four rounds of this breath holding with some small recovery breathing in between, she could actually hold her breath. She never tried it before. 3 minutes.
Wow.
I think it was 3 minutes, 44 seconds or something.
Wow.
And it was just with a little bit of coaching, a little bit of confidence and no fear, knowing that you're okay. It's going to be okay, right? And yeah. This is the thing. This was a really cool, an eye-opening thing for her, but also for myself, to see someone who relatively, like basically zero experience in doing this, and actually some small respiratory issues that have kind of plagued her throughout her life too, but to get somebody in a really, really calm state, the amount of the performance seems to increase a lot more, you know? And that's what you want, right? Like when the original question is talking about athletic and sports performance, is it really, we want someone to really like come into the exercise like this? You don't see any boxers doing this in the most, like probably one of the most primal mano kind of sports. The one with their mouth open is usually losing.
Mm.
They no longer have control of the state or the performance level. And they definitely cannot get when they're breathing through their mouth, they're losing all the benefits, all this vasodilation, all of those things that I mentioned before, the humidification of the air, everything like this. And it's kind of like it's the last resort style of breathing, because they got the mouth guard in and everything. And you can literally, it's the perfect example to see who's winning the fight and who's not. Unless that person seriously gets a lucky shot in or something like crazy happens, it's usually the other one that's like breathing as they punch, they kind of jab and breathe through their nose. So I feel like one of the most underrated things to do for in terms of performance is to do some breath holding before as a warm up, and of course then we start talking about splenic your spleen. You can get a splenic contraction, which your spleen actually, they found out that the spleen contains, it's like a small blood bank, and it contains adiquot, which is the terminology used to the type of blood that carries a lot of oxygen, like very, very potent blood. And once you do these series of breath holds, you can actually, your spleen actually gives it this little, and it squeezes and it reduces in size, but that's because it's sort of squirts this really, really potent blood into your system. So you can get this, and it lasts some hours, actually, the effects of that.
Wow.
So that's why it's very, like, it's a nice, another nice little biohack there, you know, but you've got to be real careful when you're trying to practice this, and it's best not to try and do this stuff when you're standing up, you know.
Usually
laying down when you're doing this, because I mean, with all breathing, if you the deeper breathing, the faster the rate, or you know, these kind of changes, it can make you feel a bit dizzy or woozy, so you just got to be careful. And then of course we can get also into, for performance things, we can also talk a little bit about the simulated altitude training and things like this, where you're literally you're starting to train. It's intermittent hypoxic training. Hypoxic meaning sort of lack of oxygen, or you know, deliberately causing a like a less oxidated state in the body, and you start to do some small training like that. Not really strenuous stuff, but just allowing the body to feel what it's like inside. And actually building up a CO2 tolerance as well is really important to that, because the more tolerant you are to CO2, the more calm you will be when the CO2 starts to build up. So again, we refer to this combat sports. It's all about the CO2 building up, and hopefully not lactic acid buildup, which is when you can't get enough oxygen, then of course the body goes into this backup process, and that's where the lactic acid forms, and it's very, very resource intensive of the body. But it does work. It just takes a little bit of a while to get through and break through the wall.
Yeah.
You know, that's why when you're running a marathon, you come up to they call it the wall, and they say, okay, just getting through the wall. And then it's literally when the lactic acid or the lactate is readily available to be used as the energy source. Up until then, it's like slow going. It's like going through hell, a couple of kilometers, like an eternity.
Horrible state.
Not to mention how the legs actually feel.
Exactly. That stuff there, I mean, that's all fascinating. And I think one thing that I've wrote it down here in like big letters is that ultimately you're in control, aren't you? I mean, it's a really high percentage. I mean, obviously things in our life happen where we're not in control of it and there's nothing we can do about it. But on the whole, we're in control, and we can control this method of breathing. We can control what we're doing. We can control the technique. And then ultimately it ends up controlling everything else, because it can control our performance, our recovery, etc. So the key thing to point out is that we are in control of it, and then we can start to make big impacts, and we can train it as well.
We can be, right? So I mean, like that's the thing. I do it, you do it, we all do it. We all jump in the passenger seat. It's happening. It's happening where, you know, we can breathe. Unless you're thinking about it right now, unless you've kind of trained it to, like, you've got your mouth closed now, you're breathing through your nose, right? But unless you kind of have already trained that, you've probably done a little bit of the training, and showers helps and all this kind of stuff. But unless you're consciously thinking that, or you've trained it, then the chances are it's just happening by itself. You are, like I said before, you're in the passenger seat. And what the breath gives us possibility to do is exactly what you said. It's, we can jump in the driver's seat. You know, as I run, I need to breathe more. So I need to create more energy in the body. So I breathe more, right? That's how it's distributed around the body, with the circulatory system. Or then, okay, I want to relax. I want to go to sleep now. So I need to reduce the rate of breath so that I can calm things down and I'm not using the energy. The energy demand on energy is right down, so I can relax and I can calm and clear my mind and just concentrate on a few numbers, 4, 7, 8, whatever it is. And you can do it. You can go the other way. We have the access to so many different states And we haven't even gone into sort of like the psychedelic kind of stuff or the really spiritual or journey kind of states that you can get from different forms of breathing as well, right? That's a whole nother story.
Mm.
But essentially, you know, you nailed it. I mean, that's what it's all about. It's the one thing you can do to give you more control over your reactions and your states and how you want to be and who you want to be as a person, most likely.
Yeah. There's one other thing I want to touch on before we kind of move on and almost start to wrap things up. And that's the other area that a lot of listeners might be interested in is kind of pain and recovery. So how can we use the breath to overcome pain? Because I know from my experience of being in fitness for what, nearly 11 years now, and seeing people come in and out of our facility on a daily basis, I mean, there's a vast majority of people that are walking around in pain, whether that's a lower back pain, an acute pain, or some people even worse in chronic pain. How can we use the breath to overcome pain and injury and dysfunction?
Yeah, so in breathology, to become an instructor, we use something called soothing breath. And that's essentially a combination. You kind of breathe into the area of discomfort or pain. It sounds a little bit woo-woo. It does come from a yogic background. It does involve kind of visualization. But you can also, it's very hands-on too. So as an instructor, we can, of course, you know, you're not trying to put your hands all over everybody all the time, but of course, we ask and invite or ask the person, and we can actually just put the hands on it's about drawing attention to the area. So for example, if you have your quadricep is in pain, you can just place your hands there and ask the person to draw attention and breathe there. And it's actually quite incredible what you can do when you take a lot of oxygen in there. You can actually, I don't want to say heal because it's that's to go in that kind of direction, but you can actually start using this as pain management and recovery. And there's one incredible guy, a really close friend of mine and sort of a bit of a mentor to me, actually, in many ways, Casper van der Meulen. He's also from the Wim Hof method. One of the key guys there up until not so long. I think he's kind of really exploded and he's doing his own stuff now, which is great. He actually had a very nasty, I think it was a story where he got, bucked off a horse, or he had some a horse came past, and it was a really unlucky situation, but it kind of kicked him and he kind of woke up and he had a really like a severely broken hand. And he was kind of like, I mean, there's a number of ways you can look at these things. You can look at it as like unlucky, this, that, or the other. But whilst he was in hospital, he started to really draw attention to the breath, and he was just like, I think he talks about it in I believe it's Scott Carney's book. It's What Doesn't Kill You, where he's kind of like talking about Wim Hof and traveling with him. And Casper was talking about how he literally drew the attention and breathed into his arm, into his wrist there, where he now has the plates and everything. And the healing, the rate of it was healed faster, basically. I was trying to avoid to say heal, but yeah, it healed faster. It healed faster. It healed in a matter of weeks, you know, like it was really quick. It was really quick. So scientifically, how does that work? Not 100% sure on that, other than, I mean, more oxygen into the body is a good thing. You can play around with some breath holds. You can allow for the CO2 to rise and sort of like, hopefully deploy more of the oxygen in the body and things like that. And I'm sure, I mean, he used some cold therapy on that as well, which is always a pretty nice thing for inflammation and so on. But I think I think the thing that we can't quantify so much and so often is what goes on up here. And I think it does, I think that's the edge that you just see some athletes, they have that kind of edge already that's embedded in them. They have that kind of, that competitive nature, or that kind of, they have something above the others, you know. And I think for someone like Casper, he was just so focused on the thing that he was able to actually, like, he literally drew attention to that and he literally healed the thing so quickly, his wrist. So that's kind of like going into this healing thing and for pain. And of course, when you start talking about breathing and pain, of course, what do you do as a what do they ask a pregnant female?
I knew you were going to say that. You said it before I said it. I was going to say exactly the same thing.
It's a natural progression, right? It's
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's an amazing thing, right? It's an amazing thing. Like a child is sort of like brought into the world from the mother breathing. And then, well, in South American culture and tribal culture, they say the until the baby breathes, the soul comes into the baby in its first breath. And of course leaves on that person's last breath too. So there is something really profound about the breathing. And in terms of, there's more and more mothers are choosing to not to go more natural path in birth now as well, and the breathing is plays a huge role in that.
Yeah, 100%. One of my friends just had a little girl, and they did exactly the same thing. They had the baby at home. They're very kind of, what's the best way to put it, spiritual cats, so to speak. They decided to go that way, and I think it worked a lot better for them. That's not saying it's for everyone, but like you say, more and more people.
And birthing hall as well. So I mean, you can like get a little bit of the Wim Hof going on all levels there if you do the breathing, and then the baby's born into the birthing pool and everything. You know.
Yeah.
Welcome to the straight into the Wim Hof from the moment of conception.
I don't think they have ice in those pools, though.
No, probably not. Probably not a good idea.
Awesome. I think we're going to start to like wrap things up, mate, because obviously we're both conscious of time and whatnot, but we could go on. I feel like this could go on loads more, and we'll certainly get you back on and do some other topics or dive into other areas.
We'll have to get you up here for some fun up here.
100%. I'll answer that. 1,000,000%. I'll come in the winter though, when it's a proper challenge.
Absolutely. Yeah, I wouldn't have it any other way. You can't come up here for one of these summers up here, you know?
Yeah. There's two more things I wanted to touch on before we kind of wrap things up. What can the listeners, the people that have listened to this podcast and taken time out and have got this far into the show, what is maybe one or two things that they can start doing straight away to have an impact? If you could just say, right, this is the one tip I'm going to leave you with as soon as you finish listening to this, what would that be?
It's literally the conscious breathing. Spend a little bit more time. Just feel the breath, right? Don't take it for granted. Honestly, don't take it for granted. Understand that you can influence that. Understand the effects that it can have. And then part two of that would be definitely just try it. Just see how you feel by starting to breathe through your nose.
Yeah. I'm taping my mouth tonight. You've inspired me.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I'm going to do it. And I'll send you a picture as well to prove it.
Absolutely. Yeah, do it, man. Do it. You'll be fine, I'm sure. But I mean, it teaches us so much as well. Like this situation of laying down in the bed with the tape on. I mean, there's no other way. You kind of have to, like if you start doing this, if you do move your hand over your mouth, you almost do have to calm the breathing. It's almost the only way you can breathe. It's real, real hard going to really get you got all kinds of stuff blown out of your nose. If you're really like a horse can do it, we can't do that. We can't really, like, you know, so it's designed to be much more calmer and relaxed way. And that's why it doesn't take so long for you to get some real results from that, or to sort of change the breathing behavior, let's say, like that.
Yeah. One more thing before we end it. I know you've spoke about a few results that you've seen from other people during this podcast, but yourself personally, from doing the breath work and working on the breathing, what would you say is the one best result that you've found and that you've had?
Honestly, temperament. I've always been a pretty calm person, but just like anyone, you get frustrated with things. Things don't go your way. You know this, that, or the other, or just taking the time. Just taking the time to think, why does this actually bother me? Why does somebody cutting me off on the highway or whatever, why does that really bother me actually? It doesn't. The only way to, yeah, it doesn't, but the only way you can stop to consider that is to take a breath, you know, to sort of like just go. You can actually just like literally a sigh. A sigh doesn't mean you're tired. It can just be like contemplation. It can just be kind of like letting go or release, you know? So honestly, I think that's the thing. It helps keep me a bit, it definitely helps keep me level-handed or where I want to be, you know, or the person I want to be. I keep saying, I've said that a couple of times. So yeah, I think that's, I think it holds true. Whereas some people might say that, you know, their marathon time increased, because it can go that way too. If you start breathing through your nose, you can find that you know, the oxygen delivery is better, and, you know, lactic buildup doesn't take place quite the same way, and all these kind of things. But for me, I really feel like, I don't know, is it too cheesy to say a better person or more myself, maybe even? Like, I don't know. I think I'm in more control of myself, which means that I can be more resilient. And if we look at biohacking, it's all about building resiliency in this kind of ever-changing environment that we live in. So
yeah, I guess you're going more in tune with yourself and more into Lee, so to speak, without going too off the radar. Yeah.
And that's not to say, I mean, like, I love the outer body experience just as much as anyone, getting really like primal with the breathing and doing some drumming and really cool music and breathing in a group, get that tribal atmosphere, breathing together, feel the camaraderie. I love that too. That's an outer body experience. But for the most part, like, that's what virtual reality and all that kind of stuff. It's like, I like reality, you know, or you can learn to love reality even more if you're kind of with this inner body experience. And I think that's what I think we're missing a little bit. We're trying to look for the external. We're trying to get out of here. We're trying to enter new dimensions and worlds and, you know, all this sort of stuff. And sometimes you just need to get back inside your body, you know?
For sure. Yeah, because ultimately you create your own reality, don't you? And if you go within yourself and you work on that inner state, then you're going to create a better environment and a better reality for yourself in the long run. So yeah,
absolutely.
I understand where you're coming from. It makes 100% sense to me.
Well, that's awesome. At least two of us. Let's see what your viewers think anyway.
But. Yeah, we'll see. I'm pretty sure that the guys listening will have enjoyed this episode as much as, I mean, I've loved it. I'm sure they will as well, but we'll see what feedback we get.
Likewise. Yeah.
Okay, mate, we'll wrap it up. I've thoroughly enjoyed it, mate. Absolutely amazing. I can't wait to listen back to it and hear and pick. I'll probably make some more notes myself, but I've already made quite a lot here just listening to you, and I hope the listeners would have as well. Before we wrap things up, before we send you on your way, where can the guys listening in go to find out more about you? What's your kind of contact details, Instagram, etc.?
Yeah, so my Instagram is just my name, Lee Ewan, one word. You can find me there.
Spelled L-E-I-G-H, right?
Yeah, it's good that you mentioned that, because that could be the... It's like Bruce Lee, but it's spelled L-E-I-G-H-E-W-I-N is my last name. I run some challenges on there and things like this, like breath holding challenge, where you can increase your breath holding time, cold shower challenge, which maybe, you don't need any help with that. You're on your way with that one. But 21 days where we gradually take a group of people through the cold shower thing. And yes, you do get to see at least the top half of me cold shower. So this is how you breathe and everything in the shower. Trust me, you do not want to do the cold, you know, the full body thing in the cold. No, that's something to avoid. And a number of different challenges where we're just engaging with people and having fun with it all, you know, and just trying to share the knowledge. And of course, I do run workshops, retreats, different sessions in, you know, Oxygen Advantage, Breathology, Wim Hof Method is one of the more popular ones that I do as well. And then of course I have a website too, flowness.io. That's basically my little play on the word for flow state. So all of these things we spoke about are all linked by the breath, and how I feel like that's the first thing that's like first on a list of things that you would try and get control of before you enter this flow state and this optimal state.
Yeah. I'll put a link to all of those in the description of this podcast so everyone can go and find you. And I highly recommend to the listeners to check out your Instagram, because you post some pretty epic photos. I mean, that's how we got, that's again the power of, I mean, we sometimes social media can be a bad thing, but it's brought us together. That's how we connected through
absolutely.
Instagram.
Yeah,
So
yeah, yeah.
it's got its place. And I mean, you post valuable content, which is engaging, and that's what it's all about. So listeners highly recommend you go and check out Lee's Instagram. All right, mate, we always wrap my podcasts up in the same way. And I don't know if I pre-warned you about this. I hope I did, but we always finish with a favorite quote. And that can be one of your own, it can be someone else's, a quote that you live by, whatever. Just hit us with a favorite quote to finish.
Well, I think I got to just say, breathe the way you want to live.
Nice. As simple as that. I love it.
Breathe the way you want to live.
Breathe the way you want to live. There we have it.
Yep.
Good man. All
All
right, Lee. I appreciate your
right.
time. Have a fantastic rest of the day and week. And I'm sure we'll
Thanks for
catch up
listening.
again soon.
Appreciate it, mate. Thanks again.
No worries. There we have it. That's a wrap on episode number 39 of the Kinetic Fitness Show. Hope you guys enjoyed that one as much as I did. Another great guest. I love that. That I'm not gonna lie, that was probably one of my favorite episodes so far. So fascinating, but so simple how working on the breath and breathing correctly and in the right way, how powerful it can be and how much of an impact it can have on your life. Go away now and put some of that information and that knowledge and those techniques into practice, and I'm sure you will start to notice huge changes in your life. As always, if you need any further help, do not hesitate to get in touch with me via Instagram or via an email. All those links and descriptions will be in the notes of this podcast. So, in the description of this podcast, you'll find all of the handles and links to get in touch with me. Do not hesitate to ask me any questions. And as I mentioned at the start of this podcast, don't forget to like, follow, subscribe, and leave a review. That's it for this week. I look forward to speaking to you guys again next week. And until then, have a great week. Stay strong, stay fit, stay healthy, stay blessed. And I will speak to you all again next week. Peace and love.